The time now, going on for 25 minutes to, just gone 25 minutes, I would say, 25 minutes to 9 o'clock, and you're listening to Radio Veritas, the station bringing you that good news for a change. Well, at this time of the year, there's always lots of good news, and lots of people are very happy because they passed their exams, they got their matrics, they're going to university, and they're going to be doing all sorts of wonderful things this year. Some are, I suppose, a bit disappointed because they didn't pass and didn't make the grade, but I think a lot of people are very happy with their results this year. I'm now going to be speaking to Anne Baker. She's the Deputy Director at the Catholic Institute of Education, and we're going to talk about these results and maybe a few other things surrounding these results. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning, Father Emil.
How were you this morning?
Good morning to your listeners. I'm very well, thank you.
Thank you very much. So we're all set for a brand new year.
I hope so. Everyone wants the best for a new year, and especially for all the young people that have all sorts of hopes and aspirations at this time of the year.
Right.
We really do hope for a good year.
Yes. Well, Anne, let's hope so. Listen, there'd been lots of analyses, lots of photographs. You've got newspapers full of photographs of the faces, the heads of children who have passed their matrics. They're very happy. They've got distinctions. They've got, they're going to get a great future for them and so on. And I think there's a lot of hype around people having passed matrics with great distinction and so on. And I think Catholic schools are very much in the forefront of this. Although, I must say, I've been a little disappointed to note in some of the secular papers that the Catholic schools have not featured as much as some of the other schools, and yet they've done better, in fact, have excelled in many ways. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, perhaps you are. You know, one of the things we have to be cautious of with how children are featured in newspapers is that it's often tied to paying for adverts as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, perhaps if the schools have paid for a large advert somewhere else in the newspaper or later on in the newspaper, then they get more coverage.
Yes, I see.
And also I think we have this, what's the thing about Catholicism, that we need to be humble about our achievements. I think schools don't always boast as much as perhaps other schools do.
Right, yes,
I think there was quite a lot on social media, though. So if one was on things like Facebook, a lot of our schools did feature strongly there. But then one would have had to like their Facebook page to see it.
I suppose
it's a catch-22.
And there's a lot of hype around people having passed their matric and going to university and so on. But I know that this is not uppermost in your mind. While it's a great achievement, it's not everything, is it, in our Catholic schools?
Absolutely. In fact, we are very proud of our schools, and I have to congratulate so many of our schools for doing so well. You know, there are schools that have achieved 100% pass in the state exam for the last, I think it's 5 years, several of which are here in Johannesburg, like Maryvale and Macaulay, and then Iona Convent and Loreto in Pretoria. And then, of course, we have the IB schools that have done very well, very, very well. But if the children do not learn to read and write, and especially read, in the foundation phase, nothing can catch them up. And this has been proved by research, that we have this huge gap between some schools, and we really need our children to learn to read and write and enumerate as young as possible.
Right.
And I think this is where the catch comes in. To be really passionate, I would say the Catholic Church should be building new primary schools every year. You know, I think it should be a visionary thing of ours. And I don't think it is anymore. There are very few new Catholic schools opening.
Right.
So, in fact, minimal amount.
Yes.
I can name, say, maybe two in the last 3 years. So what are we doing as church for education?
Right.
And even if I could go so far as, what are parishes doing with all those hundreds of young children in their parishes that don't necessarily go to Catholic schools? Catholic schools are minute now. We only have 355 schools.
Right.
And so it's not an accessible thing for the majority of Catholics.
Mm.
So what are we doing in our parishes to help with this? Do we set up homework classes where children can get assistance in the afternoon? Do we have reading clubs? You know, you can hear our passion about this. What are we doing to help at a much more basic level than a matric? Matric is the end of the system. And even the minister and the director general are saying the same things. We have to really work at the foundation phase and the primary phase to be able to improve the senior phase.
All right, yes. Well, you know, you're giving me what you're saying now gives me some really, really exciting ideas, because I think this is something that we as Radio Veritas could actually embark on.
Yes, you could.
You know, we've got facilities here that we could accommodate a number of young people, maybe say on a Saturday morning or something like that, we could run schools of you know, maths or reading or whatever it is. But you're saying this is the sort of thing we should be doing in our parishes.
Yes, I do. I think we've got a really wonderful situation that's very unheard of in the Catholic sector, and that's St. Francis Finishing School, which is at St. Anthony Centre in
In Boxburg, Simiston, in Riga Park.
Where they get 350 children who've dropped out before that come back to try and do their matrics.
You're right.
You know? So we have really good stories to tell, and we have some very good individual stories to tell.
Well, now, Anne, why should parents consider sending their children to a Catholic school?
Well, sitting in Johannesburg, that's quite a difficult thing to say, because a lot of our schools in Johannesburg are literally out of the reach of a lot of parents.
Yeah.
Because having lost subsidies and having to compete with other schools, their fees have gone up substantially.
Yeah.
So if you're a wealthier Catholic, please, we have some of the best schools in Johannesburg around. If one lives in Soweto, we have some excellent schools that need Catholic support,
right,
you know.
Yes.
And the reason to go to Catholic school should be that you get more individual attention, that you are seen as a child of God and are honored and respected for that, and that you learn some values in a fairly valueless world. And I don't want to be pessimistic, but it's true. And you perhaps learn how to make good decisions.
Yes.
So, you know, those are some of the reasons I think that Catholic schools exist.
Yeah. Well, I think that's very important, because if one just turns attention to that sort of thing away from spectacular results in matric, you're giving people something that's very basic, very valuable, and something on which they can build their lives, whether they get distinctions in matric or not.
Exactly. And I think that the stories should be more about the children that get through against the odds.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
I think we tend to neglect those. Although it's there is a story currently doing the rounds in the secular media about a young woman from Belgravia Convent called Onlametse, who was the first African child to be diagnosed with progeria. And Dominican convents have been wonderful in assisting her to get him a trick. So there's a really caring story. And those caring stories can be replicated. But again, schools don't always boast about them.
Right,
and
yes.
And rightly so. You don't have to keep on patting yourself on the back, because you're doing what is basic to a Catholic school.
Right.
And that is caring for the children that come to it.
What was this child? This at the Belgravia Dominican Convent? Is it Dominican school?
Yes.
And it is an acute disability?
A little girl, a young woman, yes. Onlametse.
Onlametse.
So if you go to I think it's in the Daily Sun, there's a story about her currently.
Oh.
The other good news story was that there's a young woman called Annelies Marwana from Maria Zell Secondary School in the Eastern Cape, that's rural Eastern Cape, that's the same school that the Minister of Education went to.
Right.
And she came second in all the quintile one schools in the country. So she was honored at the national award ceremony on Wednesday last week. And I've heard anecdotally, and I'm waiting for more information, of lots of young people being honored at provincial ceremonies.
Right.
Now, I'm not sure I like the ceremonies, but maybe it helps the schools to be proud of the fact that they are achieving.
Yes.
Big concern I would have, and I'm busy researching it currently, is the dropout rate from grade 10 to grade 12. You will have read a lot about that.
Yes.
That the number of children not getting to matric is huge from grade 10. So that's something I'm looking to see whether our schools are doing the same thing. Are they dropping children from grade 10 to grade 12.
That's interesting that they're dropping out between 10 and 12, because you'd think if they've got up to grade 10, that at least they're going to press on to grade 12.
Well, this is the whole issue around failing grade, a grade in that sphere, because, or in that, that phase, because children don't want to repeat at the same school they were at because they're ashamed. And also, it's been proven scientifically that repeating actually doesn't do that much good. You need to assist the child. And I'm not sure if you know, Father Emile, but CIE serves a whole lot of Catholic skills centers where these skills centers have been started by religious or dioceses to help young people who have dropped out to obtain some skill.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if you've ever heard about that. I think maybe people have been interviewed on Radio Veritas before, but that's the result of the gatekeeping.
Where is this? Is this everywhere, or do people have to come to a certain place to get this?
It depends. That's all over the country as well.
It's all over the country. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
that's interesting. Yeah. Well,
just
I think that's a very good thing.
Places.
And what we call progressed learners? I've read about that. And
progressed learners are learners that have failed grade 10 or grade 11, and the ones now that are called progressed, they have to have failed grade 11, but passed the language of teaching and learning.
Right.
So whatever, which is usually English,
yes,
and then they are put through into grade 12 and given assistance.
Okay.
And the interesting thing is that a lot of them are passing and passing with bachelors. Now, there's a lot of controversy about the standard of the pass,
right,
but we don't need to get into that today.
Right.
But what it does is it stops the huge dropout rate.
Right.
And some people are very pro it and others are very critical, as you will have seen, and as you said earlier, in this analysis that you see everywhere.
Yes. And what does the CIE have any particular things that they're going to work towards in this coming year?
Well, yes, definitely. We have several programs. Obviously, we have religious education.
Yeah.
Religious education and values education, as we call it, which we support schools, we develop curricula, we try to encourage schools to keep it on the timetable. Our biggest challenge with that is that given the way that the curriculum has been expanded, these schools feel they don't have time for it. So we're constantly having to advocate that you have to have, if you're a Catholic school, you have to have RE. It's easier for the big independent schools, because they are more in control than, say, the public schools on private property. So that's the one major program we always have.
Right.
Then the second program that is a very big program, but a very slow program, is building peaceful Catholic schools. And this is where we are trying to assist schools to move from retributive punishment to restorative punishment, well, restorative justice, actually.
Right.
So we're trying to teach teachers that there are other ways of controlling the class, dealing with disciplinary issues, and it's basically, are the relationships developed enough to have meaningful conversations around what's going wrong, and how do we make things go right? So it's a very huge peace initiative, and that's really a very, we're all very passionate about that.
Yeah. Just, maybe this is part of it. Yeah. Some of the highlights of the CIE's activities in 2016.
I suppose the major highlight of 2016 was changing our governance structure.
Right.
Where the owners, all the owners who used to be called the Catholic Schools Proprietors Association, obviously made up of bishops and religious, and latterly trusts, amalgamated with the board of CIE, so that we now have one National Catholic Board of Education.
Okay.
Under the auspices of the Bishops' Conference, but have setting policy and direction for Catholic schools in the whole country. And then the other one was, of course, our conference that we held in October.
Yes.
I think that was covered by Radio Veritas.
We did. We covered that. I remember that was quite an exciting event. Yes.
Very exciting.
Yes. And for this year, have you got something that you said, that's what we're going to work towards?
Well, we're carrying on with our programs around care and RE, and of course, Foundation says literacy in quite a few schools, which is a program that assists teachers in the foundation phase to teach literacy as best they can.
Right.
And I think the other one would be to consolidate the work around the skills centers. There's exciting stuff happening there in partnership with the Department of Higher Education and Training.
Right.
And as well as, I think, continue to encourage our schools to develop themselves as places of care and concern and excellent education.
Yeah. You mentioned the department a moment ago. Is it the CIE that has all the communication with the Department of Education, or do the schools have that access themselves?
The schools access the provincial department on a school-based need.
Yeah.
The local officers deal with the provincial departments around policy and things like that, and CIE National deals with national departments.
Okay, all right. And we have good relations with the department.
Excellent, absolutely excellent.
That's very nice.
Very good. And we're able to get hold of them and voice our concerns. And currently we have a whole series of issues that came out of a meeting with the Minister of Education last year with the Catholic Board of Education and CIE that we're trying to mutually address.
Okay, so that's very positive then.
Yes, very positive.
We have good relationships
with a lot of different stakeholders, as the word is, my favorite word, but with other NGOs, with other education bodies.
Yes. Well, there we go. So it's really a good news story that we can take from the CIE.
Absolutely.
Good news.
We are passionate about the young people of South Africa, and we will continue to serve them as best we can.
Wonderful. Oh, that's fantastic. Anything else you want to mention about CIE and plans and that sort of thing? As we start a new year?
Not off the top of my head, but if I do, I'll phone up and we can have another conversation.
Yes, of course. But anyway, thank you very much, Anne, for all that you're doing and your team. How many are you working? How many work at the CIE?
About 28.
28, and you kept busy.
But don't forget, we've got regional offices.
As well, that's right.
Six regional offices.
Yes.
We don't work in the bigger cities, more in the rural areas.
Right, yes.
But what I would like to do is wish all those little grade ones starting school today the very best of school careers, and I hope they get the best of teachers, and to wish all our teachers strength and encouragement. It's a vocation that is very undersung in today's world. In fact, it's more highly criticized than affirmed, and so I would really like to wish them well for 2017.
I was just looking at Facebook this morning, and there are lots of pictures there of kids going to grade 1 or grade RR or whatever it is, and they put their pictures up, and the parents are so excited about their children going to school now. They feel very proud about them.
Yes.
It's very nice. Anyway, we join you in congratulating all those matriculants who did so well. I must say, it's very encouraging to see how well these matriculants have done, and particularly in our Catholic schools. Really, I feel very proud of our Catholic schools.
Yes, and our Catholic schools writing the IB did extremely well.
Yes,
you know, there were lots of children in the top. The IB has two things called commendable, which is achieving five subjects, scoring, distinctions. My words lost me.
Never mind.
And the other one's outstanding. And there were many children and I think the schools, Morristella, Brescia, Maris Lindmeyer, lots of our schools, Our Lady of Fatima, Durban, St. Benedict, Bedford View,
Rosary,
St. David, Holy Rosary.
Holy Rosary.
Well. And then the other schools might not have made that list, but their children did extremely well.
Absolutely.
So we have to congratulate them. And as soon as I have the data, I'm collecting it from Pretoria today, I'll know more about the Catholic schools.
Well, I was very interested to see that there was a young lady here at Holy Rosary who achieved 10 distinctions.
Yes.
Isn't that incredible? Incredible, huh? Anyway, congratulations to them all, but let's remember, distinctions are fine, one thing, but we as a Catholic Church, we give our pupils something very special to build their lives on. So whether they achieve distinctions or not, we've got something special in our Catholic schools. Unfortunately, we have to pay for it to a certain extent. But what can we do? If we had wonderful subsidies from the government, we might be able to reduce our fees. But that's not possible right now, is it? All right, Anne, bless you. Thank you very much for talking to me. And I wish you a wonderful day and a very, very successful 2017.
Thanks very much, Father Neil.
God bless you. Bye now.
God bless you.
That's Anne Baker of the Catholic Institute of Education talking to me about the matric results, what the Catholic schools can offer and what their plans are and what they would like to see happening. That we as a Catholic Church, one of the things she said was that we should try and do our best parishes to see what we can do to instill in children. And maybe we can have special sessions, classes in our halls on a Saturday morning to try and instill better reading skills, numeracy skills and all that sort of thing. So lots of things we can do to improve the abilities of our young people today. The time, 5 minutes to 9.